be, that's for ourselves. So in this morning, as we enter into worship, you know, maybe there's some of us that we don't like to raise our hands. Maybe some of us don't even like to sing. Maybe we just like to stand there and wait for the message. I'm just encouraging you just to step out just a little bit. If you don't sing, that used to be me. Mouth the words quietly to yourself, you know. Just keep it between you and God. It's not necessarily about how loud you sing, how nice you sing, how high you raise your hands. It's where your heart is at. It's your heart in the worship. So if it's you to be a little shy about worship, the Lord wants you to be free to worship him however your heart can connect with him. That's all that's important, is you see your heart. So I just encourage each and every one of us to step out a little bit. If you sing a little bit, you know, if you don't raise your hands, you know, maybe just do something that's a little out of your normal in pursuit of God. God will bless that, and he is good. So if we'll all just stand, just want to pray over each and every one of us. God, I just pray that as we enter into worship, God, that it is our hearts, God, that are connected with you, Lord, that we will be drawn by your goodness and by your love to worship and give you a little more of ourselves today, God. God, I just pray that every distraction can be set aside, God, and we can be still and know that you are God, and that our hearts can chase after you and pursue you with everything that we have this morning. And Lord, I just pray that this worship be be an honor and be a blessing to you, Lord. We just thank you so much, and we pray this and offer this in Jesus' name.
Yeah. We're going to sing a new song this morning about joy. Everyone all right with that?
There's beauty in my brokenness. I've got true love instead of pain. There's freedom though you've captured me. I've got joy instead of mourning. There's beauty in my brokenness. I've got true love instead of pain. There's freedom though you've captured me. I've got joy instead of mourning. You give me joy down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul. You give me joy down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul.
There's beauty.
There's beauty in my brokenness. I got true love instead of pain. There's freedom though you've captured me. I've got joy instead of mourning. There's beauty in my brokenness. I got true love instead of pain. There's freedom though you capture me. I got joy instead of mourning. You give me joy down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul. You give me joy. Down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. You give me joy, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. You give me joy, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. Down deep in my soul.
never been so free.
Never been so free, caught in your love for me. Never been more secure, knowing your heart, Lord. Never been so free, caught in your love for me. Never been more secure, knowing your heart, Lord. Never been so free, caught in your love for me. Never been more secure, knowing your heart, Lord. Never been so free, caught in your love for me. Never been more secure, knowing you're you. Give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. You give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul.
You give me joy. You give me joy. You give me joy. My circumstances, they don't stand a chance.
Cause you give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul. You give me joy down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul, down deep in my soul.
Caught in your love for me.
Never been more secure, knowing your heart, Lord. Never been so free, caught in your love for me. Never been more secure, knowing your heart, Lord. Your heart, Lord. Your heart, Lord. The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dim. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon him. One final. Final breath he gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid in darkness. His body in the grave. The war on death was waged. The power of hell forever broken.
The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeat.
He is alive. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. The Lamb has overcome. He is the light. He is the light. He is alive, and we will lift his name. He is alive, and we will celebrate. He is alive, our God's alive. He is alive, and we will celebrate. He is alive. And we will lift his name. He is alive. And we will celebrate. He is alive. Our God's alive. He is alive. And forever he is glorified.
That Jesus is alive, that's the best news that I have ever embraced in my life. Before I knew Jesus, I knew there was a God, but I did not know that he was alive. I did not know that he wanted a part of me, and I did not know that he wanted to be a part of my life. The very thing he made me for is worshiping him. And I'm not just saying that because he taught me how to play a guitar or he changed my singing voice from how horrible it was 3 years ago. I guess that's still subjective, but point being, he's alive.
Yeah,
it's when I embraced that truth that he's alive, the power of God broke into my life. And if you need the power of God in your life, embrace this truth. We're going to sing that we will celebrate. So deep down in your soul, like we sang about with joy, celebrate deep down in your soul that he is alive.
We will celebrate. He is alive. Is alive, and we will celebrate. He is alive, our God's alive. He is alive, and we will celebrate. He is alive, and we will lift his name. He is alive. Celebrate, he is alive, our God's alive, he is alive. So we sing hallelujah, We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb has overcome. The Lamb has falling on my knees in worship, giving all I am to seek your face. Lord, all I am is yours. I place in your hands, God of mercy, humble I bow down. In your presence at your throne, oh, and I call. And you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are. I'm falling on my knees in worship. I'm giving all. Lord, all I am is yours. My whole life I place in your hands, God of mercy. And I call, you answer. And you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where. Came to my rescue, and I
Desperation. And he's always been faithful. And generally, he has come in a form that I did not expect. But I wonder this morning if we hear Jesus calling. I wonder this morning, he's come every time you've called. And I wonder this morning, he's calling. And he's saying, come. Follow me into the scary places. We all love to sing that song, Oceans. Well, what if we walked that out? What if we followed him into the deep, scary places? What if we followed him into a place where we didn't have sure concrete under our feet? What if that next step wasn't assured and we couldn't see it with our fleshly eyes? Yeah. I wonder this morning, you know, we're singing, falling on my knees in worship, giving all I am to seek your face. Really this morning, Jesus is calling and he's asking you to come, to step out of your comfort zone and not to do church the way you always do church. To put the cell phones down, to shut the mind off from the world and answer Jesus this morning. That's what he's wondering. Jesus is calling. Come on, answer him this morning. Come on, let's press in this morning. Let's don't just settle this morning. Let's walk out of here changed. Let's walk out of here different this morning. Come on, press into him today.
High in our world, be lifted high in our love, be lifted high in my life, be lifted high. Broken heart. This is my offering, the very breath I breathe, Lord, all I am is yours. It's in the song I sing, for you, triumphant King, Lord, all I am is yours.
In the darkest night.
But in the darkest night, you shine as bright as day. And in my weakness, you are proving your great strength. In the darkest night, you shine as bright as day. And in my weakness, you are proving your great strength. It's Jesus, only Jesus, who can take this broken heart and make it new. It is Jesus, only Jesus, who provides the strength I need to make it through. It's Jesus, only Jesus, who can take this broken heart and make it new. It's Jesus, only Jesus.
He's calling
to the fullness of the life that you have called me to. Into the fullness of the life that you have called me to. Into the fullness of the life that you have called me to. Into the fullness of the life that you have called me to. Jesus, only Jesus, who can take this broken heart and make it new. It's Jesus, only Jesus, who provides the strength I need to make it through. It's Jesus. It is you, Lord. It is you, Lord. The one my soul it longs for. The one my soul it longs for. Only Jesus. On my soul. It longs for the one my soul it longs for, only Jesus, the one my soul it longs for, the one my soul it longs for, only Jesus. Thank you. as you teach me, as you teach me, as you teach me to walk within your grace, I long for you all my days. It is Jesus, only Jesus, who can take this broken heart and make it new. It is Jesus, only Jesus, who provides the strength I need. Get you're the one providing all the fire that I need to offer up the sacrifice. You are the one providing the fire that I need to offer up this sacrifice. You fill me with your love, as you fill me with your peace, as you fill me with your joy, I have everything I need. I have everything I need. Lord, apart from your breath, for what am I? Lord, apart from your breath, Lord, what am I? Lord, apart from your breath, Lord, what am I but dust? Lord, apart from your breath, Lord, what am I? Oh, apart from your breath, Lord, what am I? Lord, apart from your breath, Lord, what am I but dust? But you filled me with your love, so I am victorious. I am
sometimes I know I just need a quiet time with God, just a quiet moment. and all the busyness and all the craziness and all the things that we do, just spending a moment with him.
Take a moment to reflect on his goodness, on the love of God, and as hard as it can be, with that silence and that moment, we think we're all together in a place and there's supposed to be noise and this and that, but just take a moment, just reflect on his goodness, just reflect on his nature, reflect on his love for your life. And that's why we come together. Yeah. We come together for one purpose, and that's for him. We're united as one under the love of God. thank you for your goodness, Daddy, for your mighty love, your grace, your forgiveness, for your judgment, for your fire. We thank you for who you are this morning, this afternoon, whatever it is. We bless your holy name this morning. Thank you that you're here, that you are alive. Thank you, Lord. As busy as we can get, as Brother Glenn said, it can be so easy to get busy, so easy just to fall into the rhythm of everyday life. It just happens, and we got a purpose to just take time, just to reflect on who He is, to worship Him, to set our minds and our hearts on Him. Even in a public setting, which can be awkward for some, I'm sure. But yay, right? I mean, He's a... we could... I love it. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you just turn to somebody, give them a hug? We all need hugs. Just give them a hug. Tell them you love them. A handshake. Whatever it is you feel comfortable with. Whatever you feel comfortable with, don't do it. Do the next thing up.
He's 8. You want to come up here and we sing happy birthday for you? Come on.
Okay, everybody, we have a special birthday today. Mr. Evan is the big 8. This is an awesome dude right here. So what I want to do to honor this awesome dude is sing happy birthday to him, okay? So here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Evan. Happy birthday to you.
8 years old. Happy birthday. Okay, what else? What else? What else? What else? What else? There's something else. Next week is a potluck. And some of you have been asked to bring a dessert for the dessert auction, which everything made off of that will go to putting our students to camp this year. Amen. And so right after service next week, it's casual dress. I'm a week early. It's right after service, and we'll have a brief service, and then we'll go downstairs and have a potluck. I will pass around something for everybody to sign up so they can bring a dish of some sort, and then for you that have been asked to bring the desserts, please do that, and again, the proceeds will go to the youth. Yes, Mr. French? Okay. That's a good thing. That's a blessing for all of us. All right. Kids, Yes, you can.
I've been meaning to announce this for the last few weeks, but we're going to have, starting the first Friday of June, the first Friday of the month, we're going to do a worship night at our house. So I'll have Pastor Mike send a text out to everybody who's on his texting list. We live out in Sela, and we're just going to, I don't know, Lotta will probably make something delicious to snack on, but other than that, just bring yourselves and bring your hearts prepared to worship Jesus.
Amen.
6 o'clock.
P.M. Children, can I have the children come up? Please, yes, there we go. All right. Anybody else have a birthday coming up? Alec is, okay. Well, we just sang him, that was Evan. Alec, yes. You do? When? Oh, boy. How old are you going to be? Oh, great. 2 8-year-olds. When? Oh, 8 or 11 in November. I'm going to be 40 in April.
Yeah.
11 in February, right on. All right. I know. So I'll be 39 for a while. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We just pray your anointing, your blessing, the ears and the eyes spiritually, perception would be wide open, Lord. And they will just receive, Father. They will fellowship with one another under the kingdom of Christ, and they will receive, Father, and they will put out, and their hearts will be molded. And Jesus' mighty name, we thank you for these awesome young children with Band-Aids on. You want me to kiss it? No, I don't want to kiss it. Oh, pray for it. Okay. Finger, you need to stop hurting in Jesus' name. Pain, you're not allowed to be in this body. And that's a cool Band-Aid. Amen. All right. Go have fun. And behave yourself. That's an odor. Anything else? Okay. So, I've got to help you. Why don't you just go from right there? Oh, come on. Yes. Yes, you can, I think. I don't know, you didn't finish your sentence, but. He said, can I?
Now it is. God bless you, everyone. No, you weren't. No, I just want to take this time to just say thank you, everyone, for your prayers and for Andrew. And it was quite an ordeal, you know. And but we just want to thank you. And I had a verse in James 5:16: confess your faults to one another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, you know. And the whole theme of today was like, be still, and that whole week of chaos, it was, you know, when your son asks you, where's God, and all this, you know, you're kind of like, you know, but it was that, be still in the Lord, and the Lord came through. Andrew's doing great. I thank you, every one of you prayed and kept them in your prayers, kept us in your prayers, as you who have children know the helpless feeling sometimes when you can't help. It's a very helpless feeling and an ugly feeling. All that we could do is be still and pray, you know. And I mean, over just a broken nose, the doctor says, hey, this shouldn't be happening. You know, 4 ER trips and an ambulance trip and a blood transfusion, and thank God everything is good. Andrew's here with us today. Thank God. So God is good. You know, and sometimes people always ask, well, what's the reason for going to church? Why do you go to church? it's for reasons like this. You know, we have a big community we can pull from, and we all come together as one in prayer and as a family, and it's beautiful. You know, Andrew cheered up when he seen all the people that were praying for him, and my wife showed him everyone on Facebook, and everyone wishing him well and praying for him, and it lifted up his spirit. So from the bottom of our hearts, thank you very much. God bless you all. Amen.
At Josh's expense, exactly.
I like that.
We'll drop this like that. I'll find a way. Where there's a will, there's a way, right?
All right.
Somebody else was supposed to be preaching today, but I'm not sure. Hey, good morning. That's right. Is everyone doing good? Well, hang on a second here. I've got to get something so that it's hopefully controlling the screen. Yay! Okay. You're good. So, real quickly, just so you guys know what I did, I have a remedial tear between my calf and my Achilles. And remember it was raining really hard Thursday night? Well, I was trying to make sure that the sound system was covered because the other church, New Life Center, was in here. And when it rains that hard, we get like a a downpour. It runs down that beam, and then it seems to like want to land right on the sound system. But everything's good today, right, Jess?
Yeah.
Fortunately, he was upstairs, and he covered it. But when I jumped out of the car, I was like all gung-ho, and I sprung out of the car, and I felt like a rock hit the back of my calf. I actually thought something was thrown at it. I thought, did the car hit something? It just didn't make any sense. Then I tried to step on it, and then that's when I knew something wasn't right. So fortunately, the one who covered the sound system over here examined me. He's an orthopedic PA, so that's how I found out. And then somebody had crutches and a boot, so praise the Lord. I'm good to go. So over the past, David, would you start Pastor Gay's slides from last week? I just want to go over those really quick for anyone who wasn't here, just to remind you. Last week, Pastor Gay shared on a vision the Lord had given her 18 years ago. I don't know if she said that last week, but this was 18 years ago the Lord gave her this vision. And at the time, you know, it was exciting, and it had an effect on her. But it seemed like there was no revelation or understanding at the time what it meant or even how to do it. And hopefully today I may explain a little bit why that is the case. But this was her vision. That's a normal mountain that you see, maybe a little different than most mountains because there's absolutely nothing on it. But obviously that's a mountain. Well, Pastor Gay saw a mountain like this upside down. And what ended up happening is that as she watched this vision, it was a vision, it was a dream that was more technicolor than she's ever really had before. She saw these, like, things coming out of it. And she's like, what are those? You know, so the Lord continued to indulge her as she was looking, and it got closer. And as she got closer yet to the glowing lights, she saw that they were little people. Now, of course, they didn't look like that. Those look like little tiny stick people. But to her, it looked like people, like real individuals, and ended up, you know, even zooming closer. And so what it was showing her is that there's an upside-down mountain. And she knew that it was a way of doing church. But, you know, she told it to me. I said, oh, that's nice. And so we tried to, you know, maybe put that in our current thinking. And how many know that when you take spiritual things and you try to put it in your current thinking, most of the time, it's going to blow up. Either the current thinking's going to blow up the idea that God has. It was something from the Spirit, and it needed to be received by the Spirit. So 18 years later, last week she was, well, the week before last, she was hearing somebody talk, and when she heard this, it reminded her of the vision that she had. And then as I shared that Sunday about the crossroads, it was all starting to come together for her. And then that's, of course, the Upside Down Mountain. And I think you're okay to start the next one. So what I want to talk today is a little bit about the structure of the kingdom of God. Because we have preconceived ideas, to say the least, about what church should be. What the church is, for that matter. A lot of people still believe that the building that they go to on Sunday mornings is the church. And that their relationship with God is based on them going to the building on Sunday morning. And it was never meant to be that way. It was never meant to be that the place that you go to is where you had your experience with God. Because God desired to be in us, and wherever we went, we could have an experience with God. And so, did it get knocked down? Oh, there it goes, okay. What's that? Oh, you want to get brighter. Okay. You're being a multimedia guy. Great. Okay. Praise the Lord. So I want to go ahead and give us some scriptures based on, I believe, God's heart for his kingdom. And this is going to challenge all of us. It really will. And I wanted to make this perfectly clear up front, this declaration, proclamation, disclosure, that I can't tell you exactly how this is all going to happen, thus the fog area that we're going to go in. But I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is where we're to go as a body. So the beauty of it is that when God tells you something, it will be up to him, and by the grace of his love and his kingdom and his purposes for us, he's going to reveal to us by the Holy Spirit the truth of how we walk in this. So in Matthew 20, 20 through 28, it says, then the mother of Zebedee's son came to him with her sons. So mom's coming up with the two boys. I think this was James and John, kneeling down and asking something from him. So she kneeled before Jesus. So she was very, very, very intent. She was coming before somebody she knew who had a lot of power. And he said to her, what do you wish? He said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom. So I don't know if the boys were up for this. I'm sure they must have been. Because, you know, otherwise, I'm saying, mom, don't do that. You don't do that. So, you know, the protocol that was going on here, I don't know exactly. But we understand that they were under her, like, covering at the time, and she was making a request for her boys. And she was asking somebody that she knew had authority. And she asked a question that is really saying, my boys are something. Would you make it? Because they've been with you, Jesus. This is your ministry. This is coming towards the end of his ministry. They don't all know that, but I believe that she's thinking that he's coming into some kind of earthly kingdom. He's going to establish himself as the ruler of Jerusalem, and that the Romans are going to get kicked out. All these things that a lot of people were expecting Jesus to do when he was setting up his kingdom. But again, his kingdom was not of this world. And his kingdom ways are not of this world. As he says here, grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, we are able. Because if that's what it takes, we're able. Jesus, we'll do it. So he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. So here, basically Jesus is saying, listen, you guys don't understand what you're asking of me. This is big stuff that you're talking about. And it's really only my Father who's going to establish who sits on my right and my left. And so if we go on, the other disciples get a little ticked. And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. Well, why were they displeased with the two brothers? Because they were thinking just like the two brothers. Except their mother didn't go and ask. That's all it was. It's not that they were, no, we would never ask that. No, they were just mad that somebody got there before them is what happened. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. So he immediately is now saying, listen, guys, you're asking about being in rulership. The problem is the way that you think rulership is not the way it works in the kingdom. You can look at the rulers of the age. You can look at our presidential system. You look at our democratic system. It is a top-down ran system. The rulers who are in the very top lord it over the ones below. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we had a Revolutionary War, is that we wanted freedom. That the tyranny of the Britons to us was something that we wanted to be free from. So if you look at this, Jesus is saying, this is how the world works, right? But then he says, yet it shall not be so among you. So now he's saying, listen, this is how it operates, but don't let this be the way that you guys operate. Don't make it so that you have a kingdom run like the world's run. Then he says, and whoever... Oh, yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever does... Thank you, sir, very much. It was that obvious, huh? But whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant, and whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So what is he saying here? The greatest among you will not appear to be the greatest among you. Now listen to that. The greatest among you will not appear to be the greatest among you. They will be a slave from most standpoints. I'll let that sink in a moment, because that's a big statement. The greatest among you are going to be your slave. Now picture a servant, picture a slave, and that's what Jesus is talking about. Not people looking like they're in authority sitting on Jesus' right hand and Jesus' left. The ones who have that spot, I believe nobody knows. Nobody's ever heard of. Nobody will know their name here on earth. They're going to be the most obscure people that ever existed. They won't be written in some book. They won't be declared someplace that, you know, they were amazing. Their deeds are going to be so secret and so hidden and so treasured by the Father that they're going to sit at the right hand and the left, because they're going to understand a principle that the kingdom is not about meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's not about the things of this life that give you things in this life, whether it's the accolades of people or it's your own self, you know, worth that you feel because you've done something. They're going to be people that have been a poured out offering to God. I truly believe that with all my heart. So this is a picture that I think most people say, yeah, it makes sense. You have the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son, Holy Spirit. Now, all of those three, of course, are one, but they're three in one. I mean, they all have individual attributes, and so you could just say God there, and we get this picture of God on this top of this mountain, and we're all just underneath him, and you know, every now and then we just get things maybe drizzled on us. But let me show you what I believe. Oh, and then, of course, because we're duplicating what we see and what we know, we have a church system where we have pastors. Then you have your approved, qualified leaders. Next, you have your servant-hearted workers that are, and all of this is a top-down type of model. It's a top-down authority system. And so, you know, the pastors are over the approved qualified leaders, and the approved qualified leaders over the servant-hearted workers, and the servant-hearted workers are somewhat over the church congregation or church attendees. Does that look pretty much like a church to most people, the way that operates? I mean, for the most part? Okay. So let me show you a new model. Philippians 2, 5, 9. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So he's asking us to have a mind like Christ. And so if this is the mind of Christ, is Christ God? Guys, is Christ God? Yeah. So if this is the mind of Christ, would you then say that this is the mind of God? Or is this just Jesus had this mind and God the Father had another plan? No. We have to realize that when it's talking about this is talking about the very heart and nature of God. And this will be important. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. There we go. Made himself of no reputation. We say, well, Jesus had a huge reputation. That's only because of the amount of emptiness that he did. Jesus was Jesus, not just because he was God, but because he had emptied himself fully. He is our prime example. But emptied himself of, and to make himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So we see that the mind that God wants us to have here is to be of no reputation, to humble ourselves, to be a slave, be a servant. And so let's take another look here at this picture of the mountain. So somebody say, well, this is all upside down, Pastor. Yeah, it is all upside down. But if you understand how God works, it makes total sense, because what ends up happening is that God the Father is supporting everything. Everything is lifted up and supported by God the Father. The Son, the Holy Spirit, all support us. That they are the very beneath. You're saying, well, God, no, we glorify him, we exalt him, we magnify him. Yes, but in God's perspective, he has emptied himself. For crying out loud, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It makes no sense. The only way that can happen is if he has lowered himself to the place where he is lifting us up. He is the support system. And then the body of Christ is supported and held by him. Yes, I know that it says that Jesus is the head and we are the body. That's another illustration. But it comes to the heart of the matter, because that's what really matters. The spirit behind, the mind behind God is that he is the lowest. It wasn't just when Jesus came to humble himself to be a man. This is you got to remember, he was slain from the foundations of the earth. The cross was just a manifestation of the heart of God for eternity. See, we're so caught in now and in moments and time that we miss the very nature of God. We see him dealing with the Jews in a certain way, and we see him dealing with you know, the I guess you call them the nations that were kicked out of the promised land, and we see God a certain way, but you have to take the whole word. You have to take his whole nature, his whole character, and you have to be able to see who he is. And he is one that has humbled himself. God is the most humble of all. That is his nature. That is the mind of Christ. And we see, you know, the Red Sea splitting. We see all this stuff, and we just see, man, you know, we see, you know, a whole 180,000 get wiped out by one angel, and we just see just tough God. We just see somebody who's taking names, and you know what I'm saying? Yet everything he did was motivated out of love and supporting us. Okay, so let's take a look then at that picture of the upside down mountain. Oh, wait a second. Matthew 20, 26 again. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be the first among you, let him be your slave. So a new model for the church. The very bottom, servants of all. Not just pastors, but people who are ready to support people above them. Above them. People who don't have to have all the glory. Now, they may get glory from others, but it's their, you know, God's, us giving glory is not because God has to have us give him glory. See, that's something that we don't understand, because we see 24 elders casting their crowns. We see the angels saying, holy, 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 and we think God made them do it. We think, oh, he just created these things to worship him. No, he created things with the capacity to understand him enough that that's all they could do. That's all they could do is worship him, because they understood his nature. They understood the capacity of his love, and all they could do is worship him. They're not being forced to. They're not being, they don't, that's not their clock in every morning. Okay, I'm going in to worship God again. That's their only thing left for them to do, because they see him for who he is. To worship God with our arms twisted, it's nothing to him. To worship him because someone encouraged you, you got to worship this morning, it's nothing to him. It's only when it's a gift, because you see him for who he is. You see him as your Savior. You see him as your Lord. You see him as the one who loved you when you were the least lovely in the world. So servants of all. Then we have servants of workers. So the workers are being held up by ones who are holding them up. Now again, I can't tell you how this is all going to work, because it's a little bit foggy to me. I'll just be honest, because I've never seen this system work before. But I can tell you it's the heart of God. And it's what we're being called to as a body. And I believe we're being called to it. God's going to equip us for it. Because he is the teacher. Holy Spirit is the teacher. Says that he will lead you and guide you into all truth. Says that he'll bring into remembrance the things that even Jesus taught. We know that if the words of Jesus were all written down in a book, no, not all the books in the world can contain it. So Holy Spirit has things that he can show us and teach us that maybe haven't even been in the Word, because it was never written down. And I know some of you are saying, Pastor Mike, this is like weird. Yeah, it is weird for our natural mind. But for our spirit, it can make sense if you listen with your spirit. But if you listen with your natural mind, you're going to go tilt, because this makes no sense. Well, who's in charge then? Right? Yeah, how can you have somebody underneath in charge? I mean, you got to have somebody on the top in charge. Why? Who says we do? The world says we do, right? The world says we do. World says you need people up here who make sure people down here stay in line. Well, that sounds like somebody imposing their leadership onto somebody else. But what if we come into a place where you have people supporting others underneath them to the place where God works in their life? God is in charge of their life. Holy Spirit is the one who guides and directs and leads them into all truth. Does Pastor Gay's picture now make a little bit more sense? Good. Because this made some more sense to me once I started writing it out. So this is the verse that I had. I didn't have any slides that day. But thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Jeremiah 6:16. Still been meditating, still been pondering that in my heart, still been chewing on that. I can't let it go. And if you remember right, here's kind of the vision that I told you I had years ago, and I believe this is kind of the vision that God is placing before us. There's two paths that we're approaching. One, boy, look at that road. You can see a long ways down it. You know, you're always going to be kind of seeing where you're going. The other one, not so much. You can see it. Oh, I can see the first couple of steps. Well, that's all you need in God. Do you know that? That's all you need is the first couple of steps. But we're not taught that. You know, we're taught, get it figured out. You know, get your plan figured out. You know, count your costs. And we're taught that we need the answers before we start. And because of that, we don't walk in faith. Most of us walk only as far as our security will let us. Whether it's chained to a mortgage or chained to a job or whatever it is, we're only going to go so far if we're only walking by our security. But if we are walking by faith and not by sight, see, faith is something that you don't see. Faith is belief in a substance of something you can't see. You cannot see it. If you're applying faith, you cannot see your answer. Only by faith you can see it. Faith becomes tangible and manifested then when we can see it with our natural eyes. But we don't see it with our natural eyes before we see it in our spirit, in our heart. But what's more real, when we see it with our natural eyes or when we see it in our heart? Well, God would say when you see it in your heart. So thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see. Stand at the crossroads and see. This is a petition of God for his people. He's saying, listen, this is what I would like you to do. I'd like you to take a look at where you're at right now. You're at a crossroads. And look and see. And then don't just stand there, but ask for the ancient paths, ask for the old paths, ask for the ways that are my ways, in other words. Not the ways that seem comfortable, not the ways that seem familiar, not the ways that you got figured out. The ancient paths, I think, were the roads least traveled by them, and few found them. Jesus said it this way. He says, wide is the path that leads to destruction, and many are those who follow it. But narrow is the way that leads to life, and few find it. So, what is the wide path, and what is the narrow path? That's something you need to ask in your heart. The days of me giving you all the answers are done. Because I'm not your God, and I'm not Holy Spirit. I can bring up some questions, but God will give you the answers. And that's much better. Because the answer that I'm going to give may not be spoken to you the way that you need it spoken to you. Or the answer that I give may not be the answer for you at this time. It may be the answer for me right now, but the answer for you may be a little different. See, you guys have to realize that you're amazing, and God speaks directly to you all the time. I mean all the time. And sometimes you think it's just your own mind. Sometimes you just miss it because you're so busy with life. But if you be still, if you would be still like we've been encouraged today and know that he is God, you'll hear his voice loud and clear. It doesn't have to be, you know, all muffled and I don't know what he's saying. Because his sheep hear his voice, and we are sheep of his pasture. We are his people. We are his children. I mean, would any of you parents think of talking to you? Now, sometimes your kids don't hear you, but could you ever think of talking to them in Pig Latin? Now, if you figure this out, this code, then you'll know what I'm saying. It makes no sense, yet we think God's going to talk to us in mysterious codes so that we can finally figure him out. I don't think that's our God. Our God is one of loving benevolence, wants to see us prosper and be in health, even as our soul's prospering. But if you look for our soul to prosper, what do we have to do? We have to walk in that good way. I think a lot of our souls are in damage. A lot of our souls are still caught up in the tares and the traps of this life because of the ways we've been walking. And I'm not saying it is a guilt trip. I'm saying that is just something obvious that I've dealt with. That unless we walk in these paths that are less traveled, we're going to constantly battle our soul. And we're going to constantly be in torment. And it's going to be hard to have the source of the kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit be our fruit. Because we're under another system. Is this making any sense? Good, because that's all I've got today. Because if you said no, I'd say, I don't got anything else. So just be confused. No. I just want to tell you this, that I really believe that God is giving us a blueprint. He's giving us a plan. You know, we've been pastoring now over 5 years. And when we first became senior pastors, Gay and I really felt I knew exactly what to do. Because being under Pastor Ken and seeing how a church is ran. And when God, you know, before that, I didn't want to be a pastor, a senior pastor. I was happy being a support man, lift your arms all day long. God's going to give me the strength to hold your arms up, pastor. I'm good with that. And someone's asked, several times people ask me, well, do you want to be a senior pastor? Nope. No, I did not want. I didn't have a desire. But about 6 months before Pastor Ken went on a sabbatical, God changed my heart. And so I thought, okay, well, he's calling me to this. He's going to equip me for this. But when we took over senior pastors, I had some things in my heart, but I didn't know how to accomplish those. And so what did I start doing? I started, you know, setting up deacons. Had 10 weeks of meetings. Bless your heart for those of you who came to all those meetings getting ready to be deacons, but, you know, never became deacons because God at the very end said, what are you doing? Didn't you ask me to build my church? I said, yes. Well, then let me build it. And so I basically, in some respects, have kept my hands off for about 5 years. Does that mean I'm going to get in and mess it up? No, I'm going to be very slow and meticulous in the way that God leads us in this. But we haven't really had, some people have said that, what's our vision? Well, our vision is to hear the voice of God, to become who God wants us to be. Well, that's pretty subjective. That's pretty vague. Yeah, but it's where we were at the time. I believe that hang on here a second. Is this it? No, hold on. Here we go. I believe that this is a vision that God's giving us. Now, is this exactly the detail? No, those are some things I put down because they kind of made sense to me. I believe in the future, in the coming days, that not just I, but you, as a body, we're going to hear the voice of the Lord where we're to go. But we're going to be kind of an upside-down church, just as opposed to some others, I would think. And some may not even agree with what we are doing. But we're being led by the Spirit. We're having things, to me, shown in the Word that have been overlooked. Or maybe not overlooked, maybe just at a time was misguided because of the way that man likes to do things. We like to make systems. We like to make things easy to run. We like to make things predictable. We like to make things not volatile. I mean, we like to make things so that they work. And so this system right here seemed like the one that would work because you keep the people going where you need them to go and you keep the, for some, whip going, you know, and you keep the accountability to the, head instead of being supported by the head, lifted up by the head. So this is going to require a lot of prayer. It is. It's going to require a lot of prayer. Now, prayer isn't just you just staying 20 hours on your knees, you know, or even an hour every day for the next, you know, 60 days and say, I've had my prayer time. No, prayer is going to be you learning to commune with the Holy Spirit and the Father and with Jesus and becoming one and hearing his heart. Prayer is going to be a constancy, a consistent constancy. Constancy? Is that word good? Like a constant. Constancy, yeah. I make up words all the time that should be word. I think it should be. Constancy. Anyway, a constant going on, yeah. But it's going to be something that doesn't end. Something that's maturing and growing all the time. See, because we have parsed God too much. We've departmentalized him too much. We've pigeonholed him too much. Those days are gone. It's a day for us to realize that he's chose us to be one with him. He's chose to be in us and us in him. He's chose for us to have his attributes. And that doesn't mean just a nice guy. His holiness, his righteousness, those are ones people can grab hold of. But what about his omnipotence? Oh, Pastor Mike, you can't talk about being, why? Why do we limit that? God is saying, I'm in you. You're in me. If we're in God, where are we? See, these are questions that blow our minds, but also reveal a truth that there's more to us than we see right here. We're seated in heavenly places, folks. We're one with him. We're united with him. We take communion. It's common union. It's reminding us. It's unfolding in our hearts what we already have. See, I'm telling you right now, you're not going to get anything else from God other than what you have right now. You have it all. You have all of him. He's not holding anything back. Only thing that's happened is that up to this point, you've had a certain understanding, certain truth revealed to you that you've been able to walk in, and that's how much of God you know now that's in you. But we are the fullness of God. We have the fullness of God. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In Christ, we're complete. Amen. Okay, I'm rambling now a little bit. Yes. Constancy is a word. I knew it was. What's that? Come on, there we go. The quality of being enduring and unchanging. I like that. Constancy. Yeah. Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, we just come before you right now, Lord, and we just ask that that these words that have been spoken, Lord, as sometimes they can just really challenge our thinking. I know they challenge mine. Lord, we just ask that you would just help our spirits to take hold of it. Lord, help us, Lord, who are you, who have you in us, that part of the mind of Christ that we have. Help that part of us, Lord, grab hold of it and bring it into, Lord, our being in such a way that our consciousness and our natural mind can gain understanding. Father, we ask for divine guidance, Lord, in these areas. God, we cannot do this on our own. We can't just come up with a plan and a system, say, oh, this is what he wants, this is how we're going to do it. No. We commit our way right now into your hands, Lord. We commit this vision right now into your hands, Father, and we ask that you would guide it, that you would lead us, that you would teach us, that every step along the way would be God-breathed, Lord. Every step along the way would be a step that you would have us take. And Lord, we know that the goal is so that your kingdom can be expanded. We know the goal, Lord, is so that lives can be touched with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of the kingdom. So, Lord, we're your offering right now, as we sang earlier, Lord. And we ask you to take our lives, take our hearts, take all that we are, and allow it to be used for your glory. And help us to break the chains, Lord, of old thinking. Help us to break the chains, Lord, of security. Help us to break the chains, Lord, of having to see it before we believe it. Lord, we want to be seers and then believers, Lord. Help us, God, to truly understand, God, that as we see with your eyes, as we see with eyes of faith, God, that true belief comes, true revelation comes, true walking in the Spirit comes. I just bless this family right now, Lord. I bless them, Lord, with all of the resources of heaven, God. Lord, I just release, God, your kingdom power over them, Lord, to be able to take what you've given them, Lord, not just today, God, but in their lives, Lord, and help them to let it be, make them into who you have called them to be. And we just thank you for this opportunity again, Lord, to be in your presence together and to just to hear your voice speak to us, Lord, with a song of love. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So does anyone have any questions? Good time to ask questions, right? How about answers? Has anybody been praying? Oh, you do, hon. Yes. Do you need a... can we get you on a mic? No, please? So the others can hear you, though. Thank you. Thank you for being bold. And yeah, there's a little switch right there in the middle, halfway up. Other way up, turn it. There you go. You're almost there. Here. It's okay. Your finger was on it. There you go.
Okay, can I sit down though?
So you sure can. Yeah, you don't have to be.
So I'm listening to you, and I'm hearing from the Lord saying, He's got me on a blindfold, because this whole entire time I've been able to see where I'm walking.
Uh huh.
And then he put me on a blindfold, and I was able to use my hands
uh-huh.
to see me walking. But now I have to hold my hands still and just hear the voice. Is that what can, like, or am I just making this all up in my head?
No, I think the Lord is showing you something. He's showing you that once you say, okay, I'll take the blindfold, but that we still have to use our physical senses. We feel like we've got to get a bearing where we're at. We feel like I got to know what's going
right.
on. And he's saying, no, don't use your hands even.
Now just hear the voice.
Just hear my voice. Take two steps. Turn to the left. Take two steps. Turn to the right. Yeah. And you say, well, Pastor Mike, that's impossible. Oh, yes, and it is impossible in our natural state. But in our spiritual state, it's totally possible. And it's what he's calling us to. Amen. Anyone else have any questions? Comments? This is all about relationship. I know it looks like a structure, but it's all about relationship. It's all about knowing him and knowing his love for you, knowing his calling and destiny for your life, your family's life, for us as a faith family. It's exciting times. Not just here. It's exciting times in the time of this world because God is doing something amazing. Amen? Well, God bless you all. Love you. I guess I can't just jump up right here. So. I'm ready to. Yeah, let's run. Have a great day.